Chapter 3. Pre-deployment activities. The deployment process was discussed in Chapter 1 as an integral process of force projection and composed of four phases. Deployment planning, as the first phase, was discussed in detail in Chapter 2. This chapter discusses the second phase of the deployment process, redeployment activities that put the deployment plan into action to prepare forces for deployment. Pre-deployment activities are not limited to the deploying unit, but include supporting units and the installation and reserve component equivalent support staff. Planning, document preparation, equipment readiness, and training are the foremost pre-deployment unit activities. Prepare the force. Commanders, staffs, and units plan, train, and rehearse for deployment. Units must conduct routine collective deployment training to ensure they are prepared to deploy the forces, individual manpower, and materiel to accomplish the mission. Commanders constantly review and adjust mission essential task lists to ensure they reflect mobilization and deployment tasks and other critical elements of force projection. Such ongoing pre-deployment activities can ensure an army of fully trained, well-led, properly equipped units and soldiers, one that is ready to rapidly mobilize and deploy. A force or unit may deploy within hours or days upon receipt of a deployment order. A force or unit may deploy on a timeline of days to several weeks. Regardless of the deployment timeline, pre-deployment activities must be accomplished to deploy the force or unit with their required equipment and supplies. These actions range from the strategic to the tactical level. At the strategic and operational levels, TIPFID sourcing/refinement and transportation feasibility may continue well into this phase. At the installation and unit level, activities range from personnel and equipment status confirmed and upgraded to conducting required training. To meet contingency support requirements, units develop movement plans and SOPs. An effective movement plan contains sufficient detail to prepare units to execute strategic deployments, while the SOP outlines functions that should occur upon notification of a unit movement. In addition to movement plans and SOPs, units maintain movement binders containing movement information and instructions. Unit movement plans. Unit movement plans define responsibilities, functions, and details for each part of a unit deployment, from mobilization station or installation to reception in theater. There may be more than one plan required, depending on the number of contingencies or O plans the unit must prepare to support. Movement plans are written in a 5-paragraph O plan format. Appendix H describes the steps in developing a unit movement plan and provides a sample plan that can be tailored to a deploying unit's requirements. The U.S. Transcom's Component Command Schedule lift in JOPES against the ULN to meet the earliest arrival date through the latest arrival date window. The airlift and sea lift scheduling information is fed from JOPES into Integrated Data Environment/Global Transportation Network Convergence, IGC, Single Mobility System, and Computerized Movement Planning and Status System, COMPASS, for Army units. The IGC system merged the Integrated Data Environment and Global Transportation Network, GTN systems, which were formerly separate. The call forward schedules are movement directives that specify when units must have their equipment at the PO to meet the available to load dates. Based on these schedules, deploying units and their respective commands backward plan movements to the PO to meet the available to load date. Movement directives, if published, provide windows by mode for cargo arrival at the PO. Unit Movement Standard Operating Procedure. The Unit Movement SOP defines the day-to-day as well as alert functions. The SOP defines the duties of subordinate units that will bring the unit to a higher state of readiness. These duties can be written in separate annexes that can be easily separated and issued to leaders for execution. Functions addressed in the SOP could include unit property disposition, supply draw, equipment maintenance, vehicle and container loading, security. See Appendix L for more information about security during deployment operations, marshalling procedures, purchasing authorities, unit briefings, in-transit visibility, ITV, and other applicable deployment activities. Movement binder. Units maintain movement binders containing the following: the unit movement plan, unit movement SOP, appointment orders, training certificates, recall rosters, a current organizational equipment list, OEL, copies of load cards and container packing lists, prepared copies of transportation requests, convoy movement requests and special handling permits, blocking, bracing, packing, crating, and tie down, BBPCT requirements, The binder also serves as a continuity bridge from one UMO to the next. Route and location reconnaissance and rehearsal. Units that plan convoying to the PO should conduct a rehearsal. Reconnaissance of the route to the pre-designated POs and the POs themselves should be an ongoing activity. It may be accomplished through passive means, such as map surveillance, or, optimally, through site visits. Walking the terrain at the PPP and designated port facilities allows commanders to understand space limitation, see choke points, survey facilities, understand the simultaneous nature of the operation, and visualize the deployment operation. Terrain walks can be useful as a unit-level activity, but are more beneficial when they involve all participating and supporting units. Rehearsals validate deployment plans and permit commanders and UMOs to see possibilities and limitations. The physics of the operation can become plainly evident. Conducting rehearsals orients participants, defines the standards, visualizes and synchronizes the concept of the operation, highlights areas that need emphasis or change. In-transit visibility. In-transit visibility is the ability to track the identity, status, and location of Department of Defense units and non-unit cargo, excluding bulk petroleum, oils, and lubricants, and passengers, patients, and personal property from origin to consignee or destination, JP4-01. Commanders, whose employment planning depends on the closure of forces, base their decisions on accurate and reliable ITV. Deploying units contribute to the operational picture and the employment planning of commanders by properly marking and tagging their equipment for input into the DoD Automatic Identification Technology, AIT system, and the DTS. Prior to departing their deployment stations, units must properly prepare vehicles and equipment for shipment by securing basic issue items, weighing, and affixing the necessary markings, labels, and ITV devices to their equipment, containers, and 463 Lima pallets. This includes military shipping labels, pallet IDs, and radio frequency identification, RFID tags. ITV is achieved as the progress of the container or vehicle is recorded as it passes through the network of interrogators. ITV preparation begins during pre-deployment and continues through the loadout of vehicles and equipment. Ensuring that AIT storage devices are accurate, properly attached, and readable facilitates ITV throughout the transportation pipeline. AIT readers and interrogators report the movement to automated information systems, AISs, allowing deployment managers to track and control the flow of equipment. Appendix K contains more detailed information on AIT. Training. Individual and unit deployment training are essential in developing the skills required to rapidly project combat power. Units with deployment missions are required to have an appropriate number of personnel trained to perform special deployment duties. These duties include UMO, unit loading teams, hazardous cargo certifying officials, container control officers, and airload planners. Some commands and installations maintain a local capability to provide deployment training to ensure the supported units have ready access to the required training. The CDDP, DRE, and Deployment Excellence Award programs provide an excellent opportunity for units to train and assess their deployment readiness. Each program involves use of checkoff sheets and interaction with organizations that will support their deployment, such as the installation. See Appendix O for details of the three deployment programs. Unit Movement Officer. The commander is responsible for all aspects of deployment preparation, training, and execution, and appoints the UMO in writing. Without unit commander involvement and emphasis during the planning and preparation phases of deployment, the UMO will not have the resources required to accomplish UMO tasks. Competing requirements leading up to a deployment must be synchronized to ensure that deployment planning and preparation can happen on schedule. The UMO must know the unit's mission and the commander's intent for the appropriate coordination, planning, and execution to take place. Appendix D provides detailed information on the UMO. Loading teams. Units must have personnel trained in vehicle preparation and aircraft and rail loading and unloading techniques. The type and quantity of equipment to be loaded and the time available for loading determines the composition of the team. Training is arranged through the Installation Unit Movement Coordinator, UMC. Once it is completed, the load teams are put on unit orders. Hazardous cargo certification. At least two individuals will be on orders and trained to certify hazardous cargo at each unit level, company, or detachment level. The hazardous cargo certifying official ensures that the shipment is properly prepared, packaged, and marked. The certifying official personally inspects the item being certified and signs the hazardous materials (HAZMAT) documentation. Hazardous cargo certifiers must be trained at a DOD-approved school within the past 24 months and receive refresher training every 2 years. Upon training completion, they are authorized to certify documentation for commercial and military truck, rail, sea, and air. A common mistake occurs when the HAZMAT certifier is sent with the advance party, leaving no one to accomplish the HAZMAT inspections during departure operations. See Appendix J for special cargo that includes HAZMAT and its requirements. Airload planning. Airload planners are appointed and trained to prepare, check, and sign unit aircraft load plans in the planning and execution of airlift operations. The AMC offers an airlift planner's course to those units aligned under the AMC affiliation program. Container Control Officer. A Container Control Officer is a designated official, E6 or above, or civilian equivalent, within a command, installation, or activity who is responsible for control, reporting, use, and maintenance of all Department of Defense-owned and controlled intermodal containers and equipment from the time received until dispatched, JP4-09. The training requirements for a container control officer require registering for an account under Business Support and Container Management within the Transportation Enhanced Access Management Services Portal website. The container control officer must also obtain access and training on the Joint Container Management System, which is the authoritative source for container ownership. See Army Techniques publication ATP 4-12 for more information on access to container management systems and training. Collective training. Companies and battalions train to meet unit and individual training requirements for deployment operations. Deployments can occur at any time, leaving the deploying unit with little or no time to correct training deficiencies. The objective of collective deployment training is to implant the knowledge, skills, attitudes, and abilities so that it becomes a reflex activity executed with precision. Units must understand deployment is a mission essential task, annotate it on their mission essential task list, and gain and maintain proficiency. Many Army training programs offer the opportunity to include deployment training in major training events. Units with deployment missions execute their CDDP and conduct a Level 1 and 2 DREE annually at a minimum. These events are designed to evaluate unit deployment readiness and exercise unit or command movement plans. Exercises may involve the unit moving to POS and loading unit equipment on strategic sea lift or airlift assets. Major commands, installation, and brigade-level commands normally have SOPs and deployment regulations and policies establishing subordinate unit-required activities in an hourly deployment sequence. These documents guide unit activities during these events. Furthermore, synchronizing an annual IDSP exercise or evaluation with unit deployment training or exercises can maximize readiness of both the unit and installation. Deployment training begins in the regionally aligned readiness and modernization model. A well-planned deployment exercise includes a process to assess the performance of the soldiers, units, and support agencies. An effective assessment must identify the areas needing attention in terms of additional training, revision to an SOP, or coordination with one of the support agencies. Initial notification activities. The CJCS publishes a formal warning order to prepare for possible military response to a crisis situation. The force provider or Army command then alerts the units and installations. Following receipt of a warning order, the deploying unit reviews its deployment readiness status and modifies an existing movement plan or develops a new plan. The unit's next higher headquarters confirms the readiness status and identifies actions needed to raise the deficient unit to standard. The deploying unit updates OEL and develops a UDL based on the warning order. Identifies equipment shortages. Reviews and updates training status. Initiates unit operation security, OPSEC plans. reviews maintenance posture, performs scheduled services, begins expediting repairs, and calibrates equipment. Identifies and reports personnel shortfalls. Reviews leave and pass status of personnel. Reviews SRP. Submits updated unit status report. Reviews and tests unit recall procedures. Reviews and updates vehicle load plans, air load plans, and container packing lists. Validates and submits requisitions. Requests additional containers. Army commands normally pass a Joint Chiefs of Staff project code to subordinate elements, which allows units to commit resources for deployment preparation. When deploying units receive the project code and funding guidance, they use them to begin the supply requisition process. The installation and RC equivalent support adjusts its plans and procedures to support the anticipated deployment and notify the elements that are required to support the deploying unit: personnel, financial management, health services, supply, maintenance, transportation, and training. See Appendix F for detailed information about installation support. Based upon an SDDC port call order or an AMC airflow message, the installation publishes schedules for movement to PO. Pre-deployment support from the installation is critical. Installations facilitate the movement of forces from the installation to the PO. Installations should have the right balance of military from the deploying unit and other non-deploying personnel, government civilian employees, and contractors trained and organized to provide the required support. United States Army Installation Management Command, IMCOM, manages Army installations worldwide, and the United States Army Materiel Command, USAMC, oversees the local LRCs. IMCOM, its garrison commanders, and USAMC's LRCs work together to ensure successful mobilization, demobilization, and force projection operations in CONUS and OCONUS. Installations should establish and maintain habitual relationships with all deployment support organizations: the United States Air Force, USAF, Contingency Response Element, CRE, and the Deployment and Distribution Support Teams, DDST, from SDDC. The force provider or Army command passes a detailed alert order to its subordinate elements. If not already provided, the Army command receives the Joint Chiefs of Staff project code that allows units to commit resources toward the deployment. To improve its readiness posture, the deploying unit cross-levels equipment and submits requisitions for unit basic load and other needed supply classes. The filling and receipt of supplies depends upon the deployment timeline and availability of stocks. Some units have been directed to leave equipment behind during rotations. Equipment transfer can take time and should be included in the planning time. The unit also requests supplies to support movement operations, BBPCT, dunnage, containers, and 463 Lima pallets. This is a continuing process within the deploying unit based on unit status and changes imposed as a result of force tailoring or higher headquarters guidance. The unit verifies that assigned ULNs are consistent with the unit's movement increments for deployment. The unit also verifies equipment status compared to the UDL and updates load plans, equipment dimensions and weight, and declarations of dangerous goods. Once corrections are made, the unit prints and applies military shipping labels and attaches radio frequency, RF tags, satellite, or cellular tag. Additionally, the unit identifies the equipment that will accompany the troops and finalizes the UDL as early as possible. If not previously provided by the Army command, the deploying unit activates derivative DOD Activity Address Code and derivative Unit Identification Code, UIC. The UMO finalizes lift and load plans, shipping documentation, and convoy clearances as secondary loads and pallets are built and containers are inspected and stuffed.